Praise the Lord. It's at least 7 days or more before that happens. Not given to wine, not even a sip. No striker, you don't quit because things don't go your way. Not given to filthy lucre, you don't love money. I've had people in this ministry, when they left, they had all kind of dislikes for me. But I've heard many of them, reports come back in. One thing I can say about Brother Pringle, he's not a money lover, and he don't monkey around and flirt with women. Now, if I can keep them two things off my record, that's a good start. Praise God. Them's the top of the list of things that ruin preachers today, is the love of money, and they can't get along with their present wife. They always want another one. I tell you, most preachers that way. They're dissatisfied. Oh, did you see that? Oh, did you see her? Oh, look at that. God have mercy sakes. Sorry, rascals. Preachers are the sorriest breed in America. I'm talking about in general. They are. Lawyers and doctors stay with their wives and behave better than most preachers do. A man of God must, to have credibility and have responsibility and integrity, must be a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. A man of God must know the word of God and be ready to use it instantly. Praise God, you talk about an instant analysis, an analyzer. A man of God's got to have the power to instantly analyze something by the word of God. That's what the Bible meant in Isaiah 11 and 3, that the Holy Ghost will make you of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. Quick. Praise God. Instant analysis. You can see something, diagnosis being right or wrong, good or better or best or worst or whatever, instantly. You know how to go out and rationalize and philosophize and any other eyes. You don't look. You just sense it through the Spirit. You know it's wrong or you know it's right instantly. Praise God. I want to give you another example here, a sterling example of a man of God with integrity. He was blameless before the Lord. He had credibility. And it's a fellow named Jeremiah. In Jeremiah the 26th chapter, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, stand in the house of the court of the Lord's house and speak unto all the cities of Judah which came to worship in the Lord's house. All the words that I command to speak unto thee, diminish not a word. What if preachers today would preach all the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and quit being little spindly-legged, knock-kneed, pigeon-toed, dwarf, anemic soothsayers and penny waste. Average preacher in America, all he's going to tell you is something sweet and juicy that you want to hear that don't offend, and his popularity poll is high, and his crowd is big, and his income is good. He's looking after himself. That's what the trouble is. God told this preacher, and any preacher, I don't care who he is, he's not going to be popular when he won't diminish a word from the word of God. He'll tell women how to dress too. Boy, that's one thing these stupid preachers back off from in this generation. They don't want to tell these women to submit to their husbands the way the Bible tells them to dress, behave themselves, and correct children. You know why? Because most of them's got an old gal themselves they're married to, and he can't handle her to start with. Well, if he can't handle her, he ain't got no business in the pulpit. Praise God. So Jeremiah, the word came to him and says, don't you diminish your word, son, prophet. If so be, they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I propose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. Listen, if you are going to speak to my people in any hope of turning them away from the evil of their doings, from their worldliness and their abominations and idolatry, you've got to speak every word I give you. You're not going to get the church straightened out anymore out of their ungodly, idolatrous affair and dress and mess they're in until preachers begin to preach all the Word of God. Boy, they get to 1 Timothy 2 or Titus 2 or 1 Peter 3, places like that where it tells women how to dress, how to conduct themselves in their family, their home, to be subservient or submissive to their husbands. Oh, Lord, don't tell us that, preacher. We're going to do what we please. Most of them are. They're going into judgment, and that's what the great apostle is saying. Knowing the terror of the Lord, I'm trying to persuade you to do all that God wants you to do so you can walk with God and avoid the terrible judgment that's coming upon the church and the world, those that rebel against the Word of God. Most preachers are so worried about their popularity poll, and they've got to watch it till they can't possibly preach the Word of God, always telling about their exploits. We get periodicals, magazines from different preachers and evangelistic and other associations, and you see the guy, he's on the front, prophet so-and-so, apostle so-and-so, evangelist so-and-so, pastor so-and-so, and they're grinning like a Cheshire cat or something or another, you know. What do you think he's grinning for? He's trying to get you money. But yeah, telling about his exploits. I've been to Jamaica, I've been to Haiti, I'm fixing to go to China and India and Australia somewhere, and all that junk. Boy, that really edifies you, don't it? Oh, prayed for somebody down there and they had the colic and he got healed. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I've never put one thing, we have a monthly magazine, I've never put one thing in there about an exploit, anything I've done. I put the Word of God in there, and that's what God commands a man of God to do. I was in Guyana, Georgetown, Guyana, several years ago in a meeting, right? I mean in the uptown Guyana, Georgetown, the capital. We had big crowds. I prayed for the sick. We had a lot of people healed. One woman one night came in, they brought her in, she was stone blind, couldn't see nothing. And after I prayed for her, she began to scream. I can read the clock on the cricket stadium, and it was about 3 miles from there, and she could see that clock and read it. I didn't come back and even tell a soul about it. Well, that ain't nothing but bragging. I didn't heal her, it was God, that Jesus had healed her. Come back and start bragging. Oh, look at the miracles I had. Look at the people got saved. I can't save anybody, and I can't heal a fly with a sick headache, so what have I got to brag about? Sure, aggravating big shot preachers give me distinct nausea. I don't have nothing but contempt for them, and I want them to know it, and I don't fool around them, and I rebuke them every chance I can get. Praise God. All he wants people's money and their popularity and a pat on the back and a grin and everybody, oh, he's so sweet and delicate. Yeah, he sure is. That's why we're warning men of God's judgment. God's going to judge such characters as that with severe judgment. What are we trying to persuade men to do? To hear the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth so they can walk with God. The Bible said in Genesis 6 and verse 9, Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. It's the business of a man of God to bring God's people to perfection. Oh, I don't mention much about it. What's the use to mention it? All you get is a bunch of contempt, and everybody says, oh. You ever seen that bumper sticker? Folks like to go around and demonstrate their contempt for walking with God in a perfect way and says, Christians aren't perfect, they're just forgiven. Phooey. When I was first saved, I was perfect. As perfect as I could be at that point. I was living everything I knew to do for God. That is perfection. See, as long as you walk in the light and doing all you know to do, as far as God's concerned, you're perfect. Now, when you get to be rebellious and you're doing things you know you ought not to do, and you're resisting the Holy Ghost, and you're disobeying God's word, and you hate to hear the preacher preach about that little sin that you got covered up in your life, you know you're not perfect. You're not even forgiven. Lord, have mercy. That's terrible to get in that mess. And most people today are giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. that the Bible warns about in 1 Timothy 4:1-2.